This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Rangers Core 4. The Rangers Core 4. Is it no longer a Core 4? Because the Rangers before the season said, hey, these four guys, we invited them to say, hey, what are we going to do? What are you going to do to grow and be an elite player and be the foundation of this franchise? What are you going to do to be, what do we need to do to help facilitate you guys being franchise players for the Texas Rangers? And I think, Kevin, in the offseason, it looks as if Joey Gallo took that as a, I finally have my chance. I heard him talk a lot of times about Adrian Beltre and all the leaders that they had in the clubhouse, and how he was like, whenever I get my chance, I'm really excited about hopefully becoming a captain for this team, hopefully becoming one of those guys that's a big factor for this team. Is that core four that they brought in before the season still the same, or has it changed here at midseason? And should we just be patient, let it play a full season out before we decide?
Oh, well, I got bad news for you, Corey. Maybe we should be patient, but that is not the take that I'm going to bring to the table for this. So, the original core four was, well, Jurickson Profar was in that original core four.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we traded him off to Oakland. So then the core four became Rugi, Gallo, Mazzara, and Jose Leclerc. All right? So that's your core four. So I'm kind of curious, you know, like who do you think is still a player that you like legit want to build this team around going forward? Because best case scenario, I say two of those guys. And quite frankly, I can't think of a whole bunch of other young players on this team that I want to build around. And those two players are Leclerc and Gallo. I know Leclerc got booted out of his job, but he has been phenomenal for multiple spurts since then. And so I still believe in him, and he's on a pretty reasonable deal. If it turns out that he can be, you know, your closer, then I think we'll all be really happy with that contract. But other than that, I'm definitely not ready to build around Odor anymore, and I'm not ready to build around Mazzara because I'm not going to build around the next generation Mitch Moreland.
Yeah, I'm looking at this roster right now, and I don't know that Logan Forsythe is going to be on the team next year. I don't know that Hunter Pence is going to be on the team. You know, I'm looking at a bunch of these guys, and I'm like, I don't even know. A lot of people are in the boat of, hey, what about Danny Santana? That dude deserves his chance, but does he deserve his chance to be a person you build your team around? Or does he deserve his chance to compete against Rougned Odor for second base right now?
Plus, like, some people might disagree with my age cutoff or whatever, but I feel the exact same way about the Mavericks. Danny Santana going into next year will be 29 years old. Like, that is not one of the players that I'm building the future of this team around. Mm-hmm. Could he be a player on this team? Well, hell yeah. I feel the same way about Elvis Andrus. But I'm just saying, like, when you picture the Rangers in 5 or 6 years, if I would have told you a year or two ago that those were your guys, you'd have been like, I could see Odor being here in 5 or 6 years. Mazzara, same. Gallo, same. Leclerc, maybe you didn't know who he was, though. But, like, same, theoretically. I don't picture that with Hunter Pence, Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, Danny Santana, Logan Forsythe. You know, like a whole lot of these people, I don't picture that with. And now, like, you start to look around the team, and that's my concern. I want to know, 877-881-1053, who's on the roster right now?
Because somebody from the 512 just said Sam Huff, baby.
Okay.
He's not there yet.
Sure. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get plenty of people from the minors, and that may... I might help like prop us up a little bit, but I'm saying, who's on the big club right now that you think should be a core part of this team going forward? Because just thinking around the diamond to me, like IKF,
Guzman,
not necessarily. See, I don't feel that way anymore. Like I hope, but I mean, he's hitting like 200. He's been really poor offensively. I know defensively, hey, but like, I'm not ready to say he's part of the core. Odor, no. Elvis, no. Third base, no. Right field, no. Center, yes. Left field, no. DH, no.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and it's exactly what you should be saying, looking at the stats and how they've produced and what has come up as, I think, in a pretty astounding season so far.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because of what we thought was going to happen. But I still, of course, I'm still in the, I want to keep a hope that maybe Odor somehow comes out of this.
And do you have more of a hope for him than Mazzara?
Yes, I do.
Okay, why is that?
I think it's because of the flair that he plays with.
Okay.
It's his style, and he's also, I think, a really good second baseman as far as defensively.
Can I ask you something real quick?
And that is something that you require for a baseball team to have a solid second baseman, but, you know.
No, absolutely.
I'd love to have a great second baseman.
Do you think that would be the prevailing sentiment across the Metroplex or people that feel that way if the Batista punch had never happened? Like, I'm not saying that is everything that Odor boils down to, but that's certainly an important bullet point.
Well, that threw him to the front. That threw him to, he got, because he went and got retribution for the fans. This is what Texas Rangers fans think, is that there was retribution needed to be had, and he's the one that stepped up, and stepped up in a way that wasn't just all, you know, bluff and, you know,
sure,
whatever. This was, he hit the dude. Cool. And maybe that's a part of it for me, but also just, he just plays with the roughneck style of grit and determination. And I've always keyed that as you need that as part of a championship club. Whether it was with the Mavericks, with Stevenson, or whoever, you always want that one cat on your team to be not a milk drinker.
Yeah, and with a baseball club, I expect that guy to be the guy that when the big moment shines, makes the play, makes something amazing happen, because everybody's going to be relying on him. My problem this year has been we held so much of the season in the discussion of the preseason. It was, okay, if this happens and if this happens, this could be a really good team. There were three, I think. Minor is an actual ace.
Yep.
Joey Gallo becomes the hitter that you expect he's going to be, and Rougned Odor shows up. Those are my three big ifs, and two of them happen.
Yeah.
The Odor thing, I think, is such a key to this, because if Rougned Odor plays to the level that we want him to be, if he shows back up,
right,
this team is scary good. But he's been, every time he gets up to the plate, you're like, you don't even want to watch it. You know, it's become almost unwatchable for me, knowing that he's at the plate, because now I have to sit there and watch him swing at pitches that he doesn't need to be swinging at. You know, and you're like, why do you do the same thing over and over when it's failing for you so often? And so I can't decide if it's he can't see, if he's stubborn, so stubborn that it's going to ruin his career, or that he's so stubborn that it's going to end up being I have to go make a change. The team has to send me away before I believe that it's me and it's everybody else and not me. And so that's where I am with Odor, is I have no clue what exactly his problem is, but he's slowly fixing it. It's not fast enough for me this year, and it should have started in May.
Now, we got several questions, suggestions, etc. on the fan text, and I want to go through a couple of these and get y'all's thoughts as well, and like why I didn't put them on the list. For the 817, Willie Calhoun. All right. I'm very hopeful for Willie Calhoun. Here's the deal, though. He's been with your organization for 3 years. He's played a total of 71 games. Is the potential there? Sure. And if he hadn't got hurt this year, you felt like this was going to be the breakout season, right? Like,
right,
you felt like you were seeing that happen, and then he got hurt. So to me, it's been 3 years. He plays an average of 24 games a year, and this year he's played 23 games. And I just haven't seen enough by a long shot at the major league level to say, like, you can definitely build around him. Ronald Guzman, one of my favorite people to talk to from spring training this year. He's defensively a whiz. However, on the flip side of it, he's played essentially, you know, like more than a third of a major league season. He has 7 home runs, 27 RBIs, and he's hitting .207 with an on-base percentage of .284. Like, that is abysmal offensively any way you slice it. And being a defensive whiz at first base, like, I appreciate that. I just don't know if the premium is on the defensive wizardry at that position as opposed to like maybe some other positions. And so that's another one that I'm like, I'm not ready to say, oh, for sure him.
And he's somebody that when he was coming up through the minors that they would say, they were telling us that, well, he doesn't really have pop in his bat.
And we talked about that.
But
yeah.
He's a doubles machine and what have you. I don't know if maybe getting up to the major leagues and then producing some home runs straight that he didn't think, well, I probably need to change, because maybe an agent talked to him and said, look, you're a first baseman in the major leagues. You better be swinging for the fences every single time or you're not going to get paid.
You know what? And you might be right. And you saw that, like, if he would have played all of last year, I think he would have been in the mix for like 25 home runs, which is not what any of us would have anticipated.
Right.
And then somebody asked the question, this is a fair question, what's wrong with Mazzara? So that's the thing, like, nothing. He's fine. And that is not what I expected. That might be my own fault. I don't know how many other people are there with me. But in 2016, he explodes on the scene in the big leagues, is in the mix for Rookie of the Year, and as a start of the season as a 20-year-old and then turned 21, had 20 home runs, 64 RBIs with a .266 average as a 21-year-old in his first year in Major League Baseball. Holy crap, let's go. Then the next year, here we go. What's going to happen next? 20 home runs, .253. Then the next year, well, he did have 101 RBIs, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next year, 20 home runs, 77 RBIs, .258. This year, he is on pace, 22 home runs, 88 RBIs, .261 average. So there's nothing wrong with Nomar Mazzara at all. But like, I look at it now into season four, and my dreams of he's the next Juan Gonzalez in terms of he's tall, he plays a corner outfield, and he has huge pop in his bat to the example that Corey has used, is he's Mitch Moreland. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can win with Mitch Moreland's on your team. That's just not the player I thought he was going to be, and I thought he was going to be like the partner to Joey Gallo.
Yeah, the Stanton.
Well, back then, you didn't think that Joey Gallo was going to be a partner.
Sure, how weird is that that they've switched, and I thought, like, well, he'll never hit above this, and now Joey Gallo's like, hey, maybe I could theoretically hit .275 and keep the power, which is mind-blowing. But I kind of thought, like, this kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Juan Gonzalez and Dean Palmer, where you were like, oh, man, they're both going to take off together, and this is going to be our generation of the Bash Brothers or whatever, and then one of them just kind of fell by the wayside. Well, injury or not. I know, don't bring it up. I remember.
His bicep crawled up into his shoulder.
It was like one of those shades you just roll up. It just all the way up.
Yeah.
Gross.
With Mazzara, my thing is, you want a lineup full of guys that you fear. And I think that Mazzara will be a frightening guy in a lineup if you have, let's say you have Gallo and like a Nelson Cruz. You know, if you have other bats in that lineup that you can wrap around him.
Why did you have to bring up Nelson Cruz?
Well, because of game six.
Oh,
like nobody,
my God.
But I feel like if you have the bats that go around a Mazzara, he's lethal because he'll get you on base. You know, he'll get on base, but I don't know that he's ever going to be the power hitter that we need to be the other guys that strike fear into pitchers' souls. So I think he's a great complementary player to a really good roster. But this team at the moment is not a really good roster. Now, if I'm saying, okay, is he tradable or not tradable, especially as we get closer to this deadline, I think he is. I also don't think you're going to get that much in return for him, because I don't think anybody is going to be so in love with Nomar Mazzara, because I think baseball is at a point now where you can't fool GMs. I think they all look at their numbers and they say, okay, I think they're a lot smarter in baseball than they were back in the early 90s and even the early 2000s, where they were just like, but what does that guy look like in a pair of jeans? You know, that's what those guys were always thinking about. Now it's more about, hey, what are these numbers and how do they translate to what we want? And I think they will look at the actual value of Mazzara and say, the Rangers will say, we're actually better just keeping him than we are ever trading him, unless prospective pitchers come into play, because the Rangers have plenty of right fielders. They have plenty of center fielders that are growing up in this system right now for the future. And I think you're always looking for starting pitching with this team.
So if you were reevaluating the core four with young players, how many of those guys stick and who is your different core four?
We out on Delino?
Yes.
Okay.
As somebody to build the team around. Okay. I want to make this very clear, though. Like, people like Mazzara, Guzman, Delino, like, I'm all about having those guys specifically or people like that on the team because I think you can absolutely win and they can compete and contribute to a winning culture. I'm just not saying those are the guys that I have to build my team around. Like, quite frankly, I might be more willing to put Ariel Jurado in the mix, which I know some people might say is insane, but think about it.
Because it's so early on what he's doing.
But think about what you've seen. Like, you've seen Odor regress.
Right.
You've seen Mazzara stay the same. You've seen Ariel Jurado not be a competent big league pitcher a year ago to absolutely being that this year. And what is to say what he does in the next year or two? And so maybe Mazzara stays around, or maybe if you have faith in Willie Calhoun, he moves into the core four. I imagine they would keep Mazzara in there. But me personally, if I'm looking to shake it up, I'd keep Gallo and Leclerc, and then I would consider maybe you go Calhoun and Jurado.
I can't go Leclerc with you. I've just watched when he starts to have a bad inning, he starts to do some things to
and
me.
And he did lose his job, yeah.
He starts to do some things to me that makes it where it's mental for me, for him, to where he's actually just trying to slow down, maybe tie his shoes, do something along that lines to try and get back there, and he's not able to. I think maybe he's losing it mentally sometimes on the mound. I don't know if I want to do that with somebody I want to put in the closer role.